We'll
Dana, you are doing well, obviously. I've been reading all your posts.
This is my last campaign. I'm telling you, this has just been really miserable.
But Dana has agreed to keep the diary going regardless.
Oh yeah. You got to be, you know, people are insulted when you make fun of them, but when they do stupid things, what else are you supposed to do? Just ignore it?
Chair, we do have a quorum.
And we are recording, so let's get going. So it's
good morning, everyone.
Hi, Lane. Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to the Transportation Committee meeting agenda. This is the meeting of Monday, November 7th, 2022. We get this started at 10 a.m. Just instructions for public participation. Just a reminder that you can find the link online. And then we're also accepting mobile calls or phone calls as well. With that, we'll move on to the call to order, and I'll ask our clerk to give us a roll call.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, all. Agua Caliente?
Here.
City of Blythe?
Here.
City of Cathedral City?
Here.
City of Coachella?
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
City of Indian Wells?
Present.
City of Indio?
Present.
City of La Quinta?
Present.
City of Palm Desert?
Here.
City of Palm Springs?
Present.
City of Rancho Mirage?
Here.
And County of Riverside?
Here.
Chair, you have a quorum.
Move on to item number 3. These are public comments on agenda items. This is the time for the end place for members of the public to address the Transportation Committee. Is there anyone in the public that would like to address this?
Chair, we received no written comments, and I see no hands raised.
Well, we'll move on now to item number 4. This is Chair and Executive Director's comments. I would like to take a moment and just thank, and you know, two of our colleagues are here that this will, might be their last meeting, if I'm not mistaken, and that's Dr. Reddy, Robert Reddy, and Mr. Dennis Woods, the City of La Quinta, as well as the City of Palm Springs. You know, it's not easy being an elected official, but once you become one and once you start making these decisions, I know you do so from a place of wanting to improve your community and wanting to improve the Coachella Valley. So we are very, very grateful for all that you have done and contributed to this committee. And if you too would like to say a few words, this is your time.
Well, I was wondering if Dennis and I can have the Seberg band to take around the valley one last time. You know, mm-hmm. And I had a few trips to Riverside on that. So maybe that could be a departing gift for the two of us to go around. I want to thank everyone. This has been an amazing 8 years. I joined the Seberg Transportation Committee right after I got elected. Was one of my first assignments. I enjoyed every minute working with the Seberg staff. Amazing, hands down, the one of the most regionally competent and capable group of people I ever worked with. You know, Tom has been a tremendous guide on issues. You know, sometime he would bring forth things that I didn't know could be even done. Never, you know, I thought it could be dreamed, but never accomplished. And so we have made a lot of progress. And to all those that served alongside during these years, some of you have been on for as long as I've been, some have rotated out, but thank you all. This has been an amazing experience, and I will never, never forget any of you, and I'll be around. So I always have a phone call away. Thank you.
And Doctor, we want to thank you because you were the chair of this committee. So we thank you for all your work. Dennis?
Thank you, everyone. You know, I've had the great opportunity to work with Tom and many of you before I became an elected official. And you guys have done incredible work and made hard decisions. Some of them through the process of, it's not been easy for you guys. And I know there's been some divisiveness on it. But, you know, making the Coachella Valley a better place for not only those that live here of all economic stratosphere, but for the tourists that come here. And I know CBAG is somewhat focused on roads, and it's great that it has expanded its focus to active transportation. And I know Sunline kind of has its own little corner with its bus routes. But I really would like to see more of an integration between the two of them as you move forward. You know, we live in a relatively harsh climate. And to this day, you know, some of our bus stops, as an example, do not allow an experience for a person, a discretionary rider, to really have a good experience, much less a person who doesn't have discretion to be put in the elements just to get around in the valley. I applaud us for continuing to work on bringing the train to Palm Springs and or to the whole valley, I should say. And I know there will be some competition for stations. I hope that goes well with everybody. It will be a benefit to the community. And I think what we need to start thinking about now is micro transportation from those stations to people's homes, right? Or to their venues that they're going to. And we need to kind of start that process early to understand what might be going on and what the options are. You know, many cities have micro transportation that is actually incredibly effective, and they offer rides from train stations to people's homes. So I hope you continue, continue the good work. The Valley has completely changed in the last 15 years. CB Link, the whole signal synchronization going on, and then more than anything, bringing the better transportation to Desert Regional from the high desert and desert hot springs, I think we need to continue to pursue. But thank you for all your dedication on everyone's part, and good luck. And I'm here as well, just like Robert's here. So thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Mr. Executive Director?
Tom? Just to update the committee on a couple of celebrations, there'll be two slides here, one from Cathedral City, where on October 6th, the city celebrated the opening and of the Ophelia Bringus Memorial Bridge Project. This is a Cathedral Canyon. Your committee supported the project by approving $2.6 million to help support the city and its application for HBP, the Highway Bridge Program funding. It's a beautiful bridge, a beautiful project, and I certainly learned a lot about Ophelia Bringus from the mayor and his colleagues at the event. And notably, there's a section of CB Link running across the bridge that is a fantastic basically cycle track right across the bridge. And I know Councilman Raymond Gregory was certainly there. He may have a few words about the project and the program as well.
Well, thank you so much. You know, and really, we just want to make sure to thank CVAG and RCTC and all the other partners that, of course, with any bridge project, are long involved and securing funding and services and technical advice to get this bridge built. This is, as you said, vitally important for Cathedral City and for the whole area, because it's another crossing over the Wash. And in Cathedral City, there really are two, with Date Palm and now this Cathedral Canyon crossing, that allow people from the larger part of the city to the north, access to downtown and the Cove area and to 111. So this is vitally important. And we were very honored to be able to, as you mentioned, to honor a local pioneer, Ophelia Bringus, who, when she was alive, was a driving force behind our Boys and Girls Club and many other efforts dealing with youth and making sure that they didn't fall into gangs and other activities. So it was a great opportunity to be able to honor her. She is, we had a couple of congressmen there because she is an ancestor, I guess you would say, or related to Congressman Mike Levine from Oceanside. And so he was there, of course, along with our local congressman. So we were happy to have them and all of her family that were able to make it to be able to be honored. So that was a big plus. And as you mentioned, we are very happy that this bridge was built to be integrated with the CV Link. It will be a place where the CV Link crosses the Wash. It's not there yet, but hopefully it'll be there soon. But it was built with that already built into it, with a multi-use path on one side that'll be part of the CD link. So that, along with the artwork that was put there to honor Ophelia Bringus and to brighten up the bridge, it's just a great project. So it's not maybe not necessarily a heavily traveled path for people outside of Cathedral City or Palm Springs. But if you do get a chance and you go down Cathedral Canyon, I would encourage you to look at it and slow down. There are installments all along the edges. And again, we just want to make sure we thank everyone that was a partner in building the bridge. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. And Chair, the next slide is a project near and dear to your heart and your efforts. That is the grand opening of Grapefruit Boulevard Urban Greening Project. And for CVAG, it was a road project. I think for the city and maybe for the region, it's a whole lot more than that. You had your grand opening just a couple of weeks ago. You had some officials from the state come down and check out just a few trees that you've planted, right? And an effort to really create a promenade in the heart of your community. Perhaps you could share a little bit about that project and what you're thinking regionally on projects like this.
Yeah, 293 trees that were planted here in the city of Coachella, as well as over 1,000 trees. Plants that also got planted. You know, our goal in Coachella is to make sure that we can add shade, that we can beautify, that we can do some carbon sequestration. And frankly, use the dollars that the state has available to leverage and bring home those resources to match our dollars here at CVAG. And so the state has got plenty of money. And at the same time, I know that we're bringing an item forward, Tom, but at the Energy and Environment Committee, to really start thinking about how, as a valley, we can plant trees throughout the Coachella Valley and really think about how we can beautify our corridors. There are efforts going on in some of the larger urban cities like Phoenix, LA, London, where folks are moving on 50 to 75,000 trees as an urban kind of destination. And their hope is that they can use the trees to, you know, enhance nature, beautify, and then, you know, kind of do some carbon sequestration. So it's something I think the Coachella Valley would benefit from. And we were very fortunate that we were able to get state dollars, and the state did say they had more money for this region if we want.
Thank you, Chair. That's the end of my report. I do want to note Supervisor Perez is on as well.
Welcome, Supervisor Perez. And with that, we'll move on to our next item. We'll move on to the consent calendar. This is the approval of the consent calendar. What are the wishes of the committee?
Move adoption.
Cathedral City.
There's a move to adopt from the City of New Wells, and there's a second by Cathedral City. All those in favor signify by saying aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
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 Any abstentions or noes? Seeing none, we'll move on now. Motion carries. We'll move on now to item number 6. I think this is a very, very exciting project. John, the next steps for the arts and music line.
Well, good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. The arts and music line is a project located in the East Coachella Valley. And the project will connect along Avenue 48. It will go through the cities of La Quinta, Indio, Coachella. It has two connections to CV Link on either end, and also about 9 connections to different schools. It also connects to the Polo grounds, the festival grounds, where we have the Coachella and Stagecoach festivals. Back in 2019, the executive committee approved the bicycle and pedestrian safety program. This program was an investment of some regional funds towards local projects and getting them ATP projects shovel ready so they could compete in future cycles of ATP or other ATP type of funding opportunities. At that point, Webb and Associates was hired to work on the arts and music line. as well as two additional consultants were hired to help with projects both in Cathedral City as well as Desert Hot Springs. As far as the Arts and Music line goes, the application for that project was submitted in both Cycle 4 and Cycle 5. This process is, and in both Cycles 4 and Cycle 5, the project came up short of the statewide funding. The way the statewide funding works is they're scored on a 100-point score system. And based on the available funding and the scores, the state will determine a cutoff score, which those projects above that minimum cutoff will receive funding. After that process, there are some smaller parts of smaller pots of money available in the MPO with each of the MPO areas. And if projects weren't funded in the statewide, then the MPOs have some funding available for those projects. In our case, SCAG and RCTC scored those projects that didn't meet the cutoff, and some additional funding was made available. The Arts and Music project received only partial funding recommendation in that Cycle 5 and Cycle 4 rounds. We had to leave over $7 million of funding because we didn't have the matching funding available. So we had to pass on both those opportunities. So as we were preparing for the Cycle 6 application, we used Webb's contingency funding and their existing agreement that we had approved to rework the application, make sure it was consistent with the new guidelines, and then also make sure we were maximizing our point total, possible point totals on the application, and got it resubmitted here back in June. And on October 20th of this year, we at CTC announced their recommendations, their staff recommendations for Cycle 6 ATP funding, which included the Arts and Music line. So those recommendations will be approved by the CTC coming up in this first week of December. This meeting will take place in Riverside. And as part of that will be our $36.4 million towards the Arts and Music line project. The Arts and Music line project is over 9 miles of protected bike lanes along Avenue 48. And we also have over 6 miles of we call them spurs that extend out to the different schools. We have 11 disadvantaged schools and 19 existing affordable housing communities that'll be serviced by these improvements. In addition to those capital improvements, we also have a bike program that will work with the schools to create a bike and walk train program. It will also create a route map that'll be both available digitally with QR code and also with hard copies that will be available for the schools and the community. It'll also incorporate bike rodeos to encourage the community and schools to get out and use the facility. And the design of the facility is, it really embraces, you know, bold colors, innovative lighting, artwork, and really creates a safe and innovative route for all users to come out and use this as not only to connect the different institutions and points of interest, but also as a destination on its own. So the original contract for the web was for $2.7 million. Staff's recommending an amendment for approximately $1,060,000, and that'll cover the NEPA process that's now required with this new funding. There's some federal money attached to this. And also it will cover the design changes that were recommended in our Cycle 6 application, where we've extended some spurs and included some other communities as well as incorporated that bike program. This is a multi-jurisdictional project. We have an existing reimbursement agreement that covers La Quinta, Indio, and Coachella, and based on where the path is programmed or proposed, the percentage match for the local match has been divided out amongst those agencies. We propose to continue based on that share formula for this additional $1 million. But as the design is completed and we get closer to construction and actual construction costs, we'll go back and segregate that construction cost and come back with adjusted reimbursement agreements, amendments to those reimbursement agreements with each of the agencies to cover the local match needed to meet the to get the $36 million from the state. That concludes my staff report. I think Tom has some additional comments.
Yeah, and this is a huge win for the region. Part of John's staff report pointed out how few other projects prevailed in Riverside County. It's really in Riverside and San Bernardino County. This is by far and away the largest project in what's called District 8 of Caltrans, the Inland Empire. Even in Riverside County, we account for, you know, over 80-85% of the total award and received about 3-4% of the entire state pot of funding for this project. It's really phenomenal. And it shows that it does pay to be persistent, because we certainly didn't prevail the first round, kind of did the second round, and here we are in the third round. I've got to thank our staff for sticking with me and us on that. That's Erica and Emmanuel and John and Eric, really the whole team here at CVAG, and for our city partners and county partners. While the project does run along three cities, it does run along a part of an unincorporated Riverside County that's very impoverished and could use these connections as well. So it's been a team effort, and we're looking forward to getting to the starting line really on December 6th, 7th at the CTC meeting. You bet we will be there to make sure that the CTC does vote in support of the staff's recommendation. And we're looking forward to building in the eastern part of the Coachella Valley a pretty innovative project. With that, John and I can answer any questions if you have any.
Yeah, the committee question, comments?
I see Mr. Radai's hand up.
And Dennis, you're next. Dr. Radai?
Yes, I just wanted to say that in my remarks, when I thought about dreams that can only be dreamt, but they can become reality, this is one of them. And I remember when we started this conversation exactly with Tom and others, this seemed almost impossible. I mean, at the time, ATP funds were more available, but try after try, you know, being denied and going back and keep refining until it did fit all the criteria and getting to this point is absolutely remarkable. We cannot forget the significance of this project. I remember when I was a kid, it was me and my bike. And that bike eventually broke in half because I used it so much. And in this day and age, you know, it would be great to have kids going to school on bike. But the reality is that the roads are not safe. Also because many drivers do not know how to share the road. And one fatality is way too many. And so this to me is the future generation, that they can learn some independence. They can learn to move around. It is going to open up opportunities to use regional parks at a higher level. CivilLink, as you know, we opened the X Park in La Quinta. It's fully functional, fully open. And with the CivilLink and the music line connections and the connectors, this is going to be absolutely remarkable for our youth. And so I'm so grateful to Tom and the entire staff at CVAG for pursuing this, and the cities of Indio and Coachella for having the foresight to stay behind this the whole time. Thank you.
Mr. Woods?
Thank you. I won't repeat what Robert said, but I agree with Robert. But a couple questions for staff, if I can. This seems to be both off and on road. What kind of electric vehicles are allowed on this? Is it the same as CVLink, or can you just explain that?
John, the quick answer is yes, the same as CVLink. And the more nuanced answer is it might depend. Some of the connections into schools, for example, may not be at the same width or standard as the main line along Avenue 48. And we'll be working with each of the three cities and the county of Riverside on the appropriate standards.
Okay, so can an electric golf cart that holds maybe six people, is that allowed on the path?
It's intended to be allowed, yes, on the Avenue 48 portion of the path.
Okay. Great. No, I totally support it. I just two kind of comments. I think this sets the base foundation for us to do a lot more. And what do I mean by a lot more? I mean, we can actually start shuttling kids around on this bike path so that they can get around. We can start shuttling people with these little electric carts to Indian Wells, to the tennis center. It's all possible. It's all stuff I think we need to think about to really maximize our investment in this CV link. And lastly, I think as you guys look forward, since I won't be here anymore, is, you know, we may need some electric charging for bicycles along the route at some point. And that, again, could be an added thing, but something to think about. I think more and more people, especially people who are not as physically fit, might benefit from having an electric bike, and they're becoming much more popular out here in the Valley. Those are my comments and my questions. Thank you.
Elaine?
You know, I remember when this was first presented at the council meeting years ago, and how exciting it was. But I think our perspective was, gosh, is this really ever going to happen? And it has. It has. Thank you to the staff and the perseverance and what it brings to all of our communities, particularly Coachella, Indio, and La Quinta, is enormous. And I look forward to bringing every opportunity to its fruition. It's beyond just, getting kids to school. It's beyond the concerts. It's beyond recreation and tourism. It embodies just a whole new world of a modification to how we transport things, people, so on and so forth. And to have that beautiful segment running through all of our cities here in the East Valley truly is a dream come true. Thank you, everyone, for making it happen. And I'm really excited to see it start happening. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd kick myself if I forgot to mention an important consideration here. There's a lot of focus here on the east part of the Coachella Valley. And in Jonathan's staff report, he mentions, I think we're going to get another big project in the western part of the Coachella Valley out of this round, and that is in Desert Hot Springs. Mayor Mattis should be and will be very proud when their Hacienda project hopefully gets funded in the MPO or RCTC round. We are closely monitoring that next step, which will happen in the next couple of months. And that's, you know, over $8 million. And $8 million seems like a small number compared to $36 million, but I want to remind everybody how we were jumping up and for joy. And Mayor Harnick, you remember this on CV Link when we got $10 million out of the first round of ATP funding. And that was, I think, the largest award of its kind at the time out of the state program. So, Scott, you're going to be hopefully jumping up and down on that. And I've committed to you and the city. We're also going to double down on getting to that second and third time on the extension of CV Link. And I want CV Link's extension to get into Desert Hot Springs before I die. And I'm working on it, and it's a high priority.
Chair, if I can also add.
Yeah, please.
Just for also in the staff report, did mention that in cycle five, the MPO round, we did get a project over $4.4 million that was approved in Cathedral City. Yeah. So the investment into this bicycle pedestrian safety program of funding these applications to make them competitive has paid off in the past.
I'll make a few comments. Just to thank staff and the way you've both balanced the communities and the electeds and the cities with the actual requirements of the grant. And that's one of the things that I think it's really important that we all understand on this committee that, you know, there's still some very stringent criteria that ATP requires and that the state is looking for. And so we've, as this project moved, we went through a couple of different iterations and refined our application that ultimately got us this $36 million better than $7 million, better than what was originally planned for. So I think that's something to just pay attention to, you know, cities, as you maybe develop your own projects, really think about how the grant criteria is going to play a role in ultimately scoring. And obviously we have a great team here at CVAG that can give us that experience. I want to draw attention to as well, Tom, but I saw Mark Lancaster here with the county. Obviously, there's a segment of this road that's still under construction. And so maybe the county can provide us an update on what that portion of Dillon Road is going to look like, or when's that construction? I think it was on last agenda that we approved a modification of dollars there. Moreover, it's my understanding as well that the Dillon Bridge also received maybe some federal funding as well for, I guess, the waterways. And so there should be a coordination, and I'm loving the fact that now, you know, CVAG would kind of just be involved, but there needs to be some coordination and yeah, kind of moving agencies along that way we can meet the grant criteria and the timelines that we all expect for this to get done. So I don't know if Mark's here, or Tom, maybe you have some thoughts, or Jonathan, about how we can coordinate all this effort.
Well, Mark is here.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chair. Yes, the county is happy to coordinate with CVAG, and we do this often on many projects. So we'll make sure that we do the right thing to make sure our chances are improved, or the best they can be, optimum for receiving the grant. Did you have specific questions on Dillon, or my commitment to work with CVAG staff to get this?
Van Buren Dillon Road is still a project that's in the county's hands, and so that's something that this is going to be vital. We're going to have to just coordinate these two projects.
Absolutely. We will work in concert, as we always do, with CVAG on their projects to make sure that we have the best chances possible to get grant funding or anything else necessary for the Coachella Valley.
And Chair, I know you're in the middle of a lot of this discussion by virtue of your daytime job as well as your political position. Why don't we put together a little staff report on the status of various projects in that corridor? The Dillon Bridge in particular may not be the highest priority in our TPPS, but it sure is a high priority as far as I'm concerned. And it's a complicated matter, particularly the ownership issues. And we need to make sure we get through those ownership issues so that we can access that highway bridge project funding. So we'll provide an update at a future, if not the next Transportation Committee meeting.
Can we make a motion by any chance and move on?
Yeah, we'll motion to approve. I know the supervisor has something to say. Is the motion?
I think Tom said it all, and everyone else already spoke. So I'd like to second Dana Reed's motion.
There's a motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We'll move on now to item federal and state legislative advocacy. Emmanuel Martinez. Mr. Martinez.
And Emmanuel, let's make this quick. We do have a couple of major other items on the agenda, too.
Absolutely. Very quick. Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. Emmanuel Martinez. This item is an update on the legislative strategy for 2023. Next slide, please. Here we go. All right. Having a little delay there. As you know, we are represented by the Ferguson Group in Washington and the political group in Sacramento. We had an agreement in 2022 when we first initiated our legislative advocacy strategy, and we engaged our representatives. We first adopted our legislative platform in February of 2022. Ever since then, we've engaged and monitored priorities. More recently, there was three bills the executive committee took a position on. And now we're bringing to you an updated fiscal year 2023 legislative platform. It's broken up into a few categories: transportation, energy and environment, housing and homelessness, public safety, broadband, and there is a fighting for fairness section under the state section, which we've actually also engaged on regarding issues like CalEnviro screen. The updates to this platform our local control and local authorization of selecting priority projects. Given some of the bills that we dealt with this year, there's updates to the Calum virus screen, so tighter language on using other metrics to help the Coachella Valley better qualify for funding. Updates regarding the Inflation Reduction Act and some of the programs. Also tracking and monitoring heat mitigation investments. And also there is a new update there regarding allowing for or advocating and supporting sub-regional funding mechanisms such as is allowed in other counties. So those are the key updates. We're looking for you to look specifically at the transportation section and give us any comment or feedback. This is going to all the committees, transportation, energy and environment, public safety and homelessness, so we can have a comprehensive and well-vetted platform before it goes to our executive committee. And with that, that is our legislative platform update for you. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
And we are not seeking an action here, just any input that you may have. And for that matter, we could get input after the meeting as well. If you spend the next couple weeks taking a look at that and provide input before this goes to the executive committee in early December.
Sounds good.
I would just add, if I may, just very quickly, I love the key categories that we have here. Obviously, there's a long list of federal goals that we have listed. I'm wondering if there's an opportunity, and this could be a further discussion later, just infrastructure overall. Obviously, broadband would be one. But as we talk about the issue of homelessness and affordable housing, we're also having the struggle of making sure that it pencils out, right? And so the infrastructure that we need, whether it's sewer, whether it's water, whether it's any type of utility, is always going to be a struggle. So I just want to maybe figure out a way in which we can put that into a key category, whatever that may be. Just want to bring it to your attention. Thank you.
Definitely will do.
We'll take a look at that and weave something in. I do want to note we did support the city of Blythe's efforts with some federal infrastructure dollars related to, I think it was water infrastructure in the Palo Verde Valley area. So we do engage at times on non-transportation infrastructure, and maybe we should be doing more on that front.
Okay. Well, this item doesn't require any vote, and it'll be open for consideration for the members. So we'll move on now to item number C. This is formula funding distribution with Riverside County. Mr. Roy.
Yes, good morning again, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. RCTC and CVAG have had a longstanding partnership, which includes a number of agreements and amendments over the past few decades, dating back to when Measure A was approved in the late 80s and SB 45 was approved in the late 90s, which was the distribution of STIP programming, how it's distributed through the state. In recognition of where we stood with cash flow last year when we were analyzing that at CVAG, Tom Kirk directed our staff to work with RCTC, review our existing agreements, our existing policies and our agency policies, and identify funding and to memorialize agreements and just to ensure that we understand the equitable programming of regional, state, federal funds for our valley. So as part of that process, I'm going to review major funding components of these agreements. Some are just a review so you understand how they're distributed, and some where we're going to propose some changes. So just going with starting with Measure A, just a review. This is the half-cent sales tax that Riverside County has approved. Once the tax is collected, taxable sales are calculated based on the area that were generated those sales. That funding is then calculated and distributed amongst the Western Vatcook County, Coachella Valley, Palo Verde Valley. And then from there, speaking of Coachella Valley's distribution, the funding that was received is divided up, as you see here, with transit, local streets, and highways. We have defined in our agreements. We look at those taxable shares every year when RCT does the budget, and we're not proposing any changes to this Measure A formula. Local transportation fund planning. This comes from the state. They have a quarter cent sales tax that comes out of the 7.5 sales tax that comes from the state. That's a pro rata share is sent to the county. That funding is then divided up. That's used for transit, rail, bicycle, pedestrians, facilities and capital improvements. But then there's also this 3% of the funding that can be used for planning. And that money is distributed amongst the agencies as shown in this graph. So 30% comes to CVAG, 15 to RCTC, WRCOG gets 55. The difference here, CVAG, you see, has a larger share than RCTC, and that's because CVAG does the TPPS and does a lot more planning for infrastructure improvements throughout the Coachella Valley than RCTC does, per se, for the Western Riverside County. Again, we're not proposing any changes to this, the way this funding is distributed. STIP program. So the STIP program comes on a two-year cycle from the state. The county gets its share. Taxable sales are used by area to divide up and proportion out how much funding will go to each of the areas. And then capital improvements, the money is used for these capital improvements. And there's also what they called PPM, Planning and Programming and Monitoring Funding, that's available. 2% of the available STIP for that two-year cycle can be used for this planning funding. So looking at this planning funding, how that's been distributed in the past has been based on a fixed amount. So we have, if you look at this table here, looking at the fixed estimate, some years back, CVAG had estimated that around $50,000 was used for this planning effort, and that's what was programmed on an annual basis in the budget. But when we went back and looked at this with RCTC staff and looked at the percentage, if we just looked at 2% of each of these STIP available on those two-year cycles, you can see on the far right column how much CVAG was available to ask for to cover planning costs. This is for staff costs to work with the STIP funding, with capital projects that involve state funding. So what we've done is we're proposing to, instead of using the fix, to use this percent taxable sale approach. You can see it's about $1 million difference. We've worked with RCTC. They've looked at this accounting, and all this taxable share that you see on the right column is available to us. So we've already started in the last budget to bill some of that back, because it's been accumulating for us to get that build and to use going forward the percent sales approach rather than the fixed approach. Moving on to the last one I want to cover is the local partnership programming. And this programming became available with the approval of SB1 in 2017. There's about $200 million available statewide. Out of that statewide pot, there's about 60% is a formula distributed on a formula fund basis, and then 40% is competitive. The formula share is only available for counties or MPOs that have initiated a sales tax to help improve capital improvements for transportation improvements. And because we have Measure A, that becomes available to Riverside County. So we can go after that 60% formula share. To date, through the 2018 to the 2023 cycle, all of that formula share has been used in the Western Riverside County. There's about $40 million that has been programmed on different projects. So what we're proposing to do to calculate the CVAG share is to apply that same taxable sales formula that we do with STIP and apply that to all of the years since the program was initiated back in 2017-18. And you can see on the right, far right column, we have the next 4 years that comes in two-year cycles. So the 2023-2024 cycle is already being programmed now in the fall. The projects that you can spend this money on require a 50% match. But we are calculating and working with RCTC to calculate what Coachella Valley's fair share would be. And so over these next two cycles that we foresee, there's going to be about $14 million of this funding that can be used to program on projects. And that's what we propose to do going forward, to track that money. If we have a project available, we will designate that project. And then that has to go through a nomination process with RCTC, and we can get that programmed. So this is a long recommendation, but essentially, as I reviewed, Measure A, their agreement defines how that process works. Same thing for our LTF fund. With the STIP program, we want to program that PPM based on a percentage. And for the local partnership, we've developed a plan to track the money to make sure we're getting our fair share. This is also going to go to, this approach is going to be reviewed by RCTC and their budget committee and taken to their the commission. And then we will follow up with an amended MOU that would codify this arrangement and going forward. That completes my staff report and available to answer any questions.
Any questions? Dana?
Yes, has our share of the taxable sales remained constant, or does it fluctuate wildly? What has been the history on that percentage?
Let me share on that. It's actually gone down in Riverside County, and it's kind of a curious thing. We really advocated for a return of fair share back in the late 80s because sales tax per capita were higher in the Coachella Valley than in Western Riverside County, and you can imagine why. Look at the hotels. It's not about per capita or population. It's about people spending money. And that has changed over the years. Western Riverside County is really caught up, and it's about equivalent now on a per capita basis.
The column here covers the 21. It varies slightly, and most recently it went down. Let's talk to you.
Well, I appreciate the fact that we're moving in this direction, and it's about accountability and equity. And so this is very good. Supervisor Perez?
Just very quickly, thank you for the report, Jonathan. And last week on Wednesday, somewhat, I guess we can integrate this into this conversation here. What I'm about to mention is we sat down with the Transportation Secretary for the State of California on Wednesday, Lisa Middleton. The Palm Springs and myself. I believe his name is Tox Omishidian, a little tough to pronounce, but in any event, we sat down with him for about an hour and a half and some of his staff. And I appreciate the point that you made, Jonathan, about working with RCTC, because they actually brought up quite a bit of points as to funding dollars for CV Rail. And so I think that's something that we need to just follow up with Ann and her staff, so that we can continue to push that agenda and advance it. It was a great meeting, very open, and wanting to see how he could be very helpful. And so please have that conversation as soon as you can. Thank you.
Very good. Is there a motion?
So move.
Here's a motion. Supervisor Perez.
Second, Rancho Mirage.
Second, Rancho Mirage. All those in favor, signify by saying
aye.
Aye.
Any no or any opposition? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move on now with another goodie. This is the next step on for the Interstate 10 Monroe Street Interchange Project.
Yeah, good morning again. This is the Monroe Street I-10 Interchange Project, and we've talked about this a lot over the years, obviously located in Indio. The next interchange east of Jefferson Street. The project includes not only the interchange, but also the bridge over the Coachella Valley Stormwater Channel, just to the south of it. This project has gone through, began with a PSR that was funded by CVAG. Again, similar to the bike and pedestrian program, where CVAG invested in funding the PSRs for interchanges throughout the valley. That's how this initially started. But then over the years, we've provided regional funding for the PAED phase, the environmental phase, the PSME phase. Indio and the county are working together. The county is acting as the lead on this project. Most recently, based on the cost estimate and the schedule, this project cost about $89 million. We, to date, have last year, CBAG recommended that $7.5 million in STIP funding be programmed for this interchange. It is the number one project in our TPPS. And but other than that, I think the city has also worked with our congressional representative and is trying to get an earmark that has not been secured yet. But I think there's about $2 million that Congressman Reese is looking at. But right now, the only federal, the only funding we have outside of the Valley is the program STIP funding for $7.5 million. So anticipating that this project is going to be ready for construction in about 2 years, and we don't have the funding programmed for this project, the full funding program. And as part of our coordination with RCTC in looking at different funding, available funding for projects, we've identified some funding that we'd like to propose to make this project complete in order to access the funding that we can, that I'm about to explain from RCTC. We have to have our local match allocated and secured, because if it doesn't go forward based on the program year, the region could lose that money. So what we're proposing is, one, to program that LPP funding that I just mentioned in the last presentation, the formula funding, to program it on this, the full amount that's due to our Coachella Valley on this project. And then we've also identified another $33.8 million in another federal source called the State Transportation Block Grant Funding. And this is federal funding that comes down and is available through the state and comes to Riverside County. It comes out in 5-year programming and based on the federal program, congressional funding. And so out of the next 4 years, based on our share, and this is based on population share, we would add up the 4 years of funding available, and it totals about $33.8 million. And that would line up with the funding years for when this project is available for funding. So in order to get this funding secured, both the state and federal funding, we would have to secure the balance. So the 41, we'd have to allocate funding for that $41 million. The way we've looked at that in the past on the local share, once we take the outside funding off the top, we split that 75-25 local and regional cost sharing. So that becomes, that breaks down to about $10 million for the city of Indio, and $30 million for the region for CBAG funding. So our proposal is to authorize CBAG funding of the $30.8 million on this project. I know that City of Indio is already budgeted for that local, the local share that they need. But if we can secure that we have this money available, then we can request and authorize the executive director to work with RCTC to program these other two state and federal funding sources. That completes my staff report, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Move approval.
There's a second. Can we get a roll call, please? Oh, I'm sorry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All, is there any in opposition or anyone would like to say? Seeing none, we'll move on now. Next item. Eric, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Honorable Transportation Committee members. I'm very excited to have several items for you today. The first brought forth by the City of Indio, reimbursement agreement for Jefferson Street widening from Avenue 38 to Sun City Boulevard. Oops. So again, this is Jefferson Street north of the 10 in the City of Indio. And the project consists of three segments. The first segment is the number 3 rated project in our TPPS and extends from Avenue 40 to Avenue 39. You can see it doesn't go all the way to Avenue 39. That's Shadow Hills High School, and that portion of Jefferson is already widened to its final cross section. But this is the number 3 rated project in our TPPS. The project that has been proposed also includes continuing north from Avenue 39 to the end of Jefferson at Avenue 38. This would be widened on both sides of Jefferson Street. This project is in our TPPS, however, it is ranked fairly low at number 227. The final piece of this proposed project would extend south from Avenue 40 to Sun City Boulevard. As the diagram indicates, the widening would just be to the west, as the Sun City portion is already widened to its final section and is included in our TPPS. So all 3 of these projects together combine the proposed project. The City of Indio performed a traffic study that linked these 3 pieces and demonstrated that the 3 pieces constructed together would bring the entire portion of the corridor, including the number 3 ranked project portion, to an acceptable level of service, and would complete the sub-corridor that's north of Jefferson Street, north of the 10. The city is requesting just the initial phase, the project initial design and environmental study phase, which they have an estimate of $300,000, of which $225,000 would be CVAG's share. And that is our recommendation, is that we move forward with this project in the amount of $225,000 in regional funding for the preliminary design and environmental study phase.
Move approval.
There's a motion. Second. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
Is there any abstentions or any noes? Seeing none, we'll move on now to Eric as well. This is construction contract for the next steps of the CD sync.
Again, very excited to bring you this beginning of construction for phase 2 of CV Sync. So you've seen this quote before. It is my favorite quote, and it fits very well with this particular transportation committee meeting, which has had a lot of vision and kind of weaves together the vision and frankly magic of some of the other projects and funding mechanisms discussed today. But make no little plans, for they have no magic. And this project is no little plan. This, again, was in our design request for proposals way back in 2015. And we have expected it to be a significant project. When I put this slideshow together, I had wanted to put a black and white photo of Mr. Kirk underneath the black and white photo of Mr. Burnham. However, the people that put together these slideshows chickened out. It wouldn't do it. But the vision and the magic is certainly here in this project and has been from its inception. So on this map, you can see the light blue is phase 1. It was the 3 corridors of Ramon, Washington, and 111, excepting Rancho Mirage, of course. The second phase is adding 18 corridors, which basically makes it a very regional project and makes it a matrix across our region, and which is part of what makes this a very unique project. You can also see the indicated tribal lands, which are a part of this project. An update on phase 1, just to put it in context. So in November of 22, so now, our field work is essentially done. There are a few punch list items still remaining to be completed, but in this month of November, Washington Street will be the first corridor to be synchronized and, you know, I guess the word would be turned on. We will be working out the bugs and getting Washington Street synchronized and turned on by the end of this month.
Wow.
And as we move forward from November, and we've been in this phase now, we're moving into work that's not in the field. It's work that's frankly on the computers. It's the integration. It's the integration of the hardware and software. And that's part of the magic of this project, is that it is a regional project. Lots of projects have this technology and this type of signal synchronization on a corridor. Very, very few, and none that I'm aware of in the state of California, have this for an entire region. And so we're working on the integration of that and the timing, and we'll be continuing to do that through the winter. And as we move into the spring, we'll be working on final documentation and acceptance. That'll be acceptance by your jurisdictions and by our construction management staff. And we'll be doing the testing, and testing is equal that to commissioning, where they have to show for 30 days that the system works without flaw. So that's what's coming up on phase one. And you've seen this in your cities. This has been the work you've seen in construction in the field. You've seen us putting in the conduit. You've seen us putting in pull boxes. You've seen us working up on the intersections and the controllers. We're transitioning from that. That work is done. We are transitioning to, and we've also completed work in all of your city halls or city facilities, putting in your transportation operation centers and connecting fiber optic to it. So we've transitioned from that into this. On the left, you see training sessions where we've been training your city staff on the new hardware, the new software, and we'll be continuing to do training in the coming months and through the spring. On the right-hand side is a kind of an integration picture. These meetings have turned to be both online and in person because of the economies and efficiencies of meeting in person to some degree. In this particular meeting, this was a software vendor that's our main software vendor for this project. They had flown in people from the East Coast, from the South, and from the West. All those places, they flew people in, and then our team was here from our construction management to our contractor to our engineer, design engineer. And this was a typical integration meeting where we discussed the very technical details of how this all comes together. Again, this is a unique project. So the intensity of the work has increased, but it's increased in smoke-filled rooms that aren't smoke-filled anymore. But that's the work you're not seeing, but that's going on today. So phase two, we have a prelude. So for context again, our notice to proceed for phase one construction was May of last year. In March of this year, we had our engineer's estimate prepared, and we'll talk about that in a minute. In May of this year, because of the size and the nature of this project, we were required to go through a value engineering exercise, which was a valuable exercise for us to go through. And after going through that value engineering exercise, our final plans were completed by June of this year. So again, by June of this year, we submitted them. Caltrans approved them in July, gave us the green light to move forward with construction. With that green light, we posted our bid notice looking for construction contractors. We held a pre-bid, a mandatory pre-bid meeting in August. We had our bid opening in September, and we've been working since September evaluating the bid that we received. We did receive only one bid. The team that analyzed this bid was CBAG staff, our design engineer at Vantech, and our construction manager, TKE. A very exhaustive review with a lot of professionals involved. We only received one bid, and it was from Crosstown Electrical and Data, which is our current construction contractor for phase one. The engineer's estimate, which again was prepared back in March, was just over $66 million. The actual bid was a not to exceed over $86 million. That's an increase of about 30% over our engineer's estimate. I think it's important to keep in mind in all of this that this is a 520 working day project, which means in terms of working days, that's weekdays, and that's weekdays weather permitting. So this will be a 2+ year project going on. So analyzing this one bid, we point back to the estimate that was prepared early in 2022. Obviously, inflation has been an issue both in this region, the state, and the country, and frankly, the world. inflation is a part of our world today and is a part of this project as well. Perhaps our biggest competitor is the broadband milieu that we've entered. This project, as you're aware, is becoming tied to middle mile broadband in the state of California. We received funding to connect the state's project to our local project. Just in the past year, in the country, $65 billion have been allocated and being spent in broadband, middle mile broadband projects. And those projects are all competing with us. In the state of California, we've had over 44 of these projects out for bid in the last 90 days. So again, we have competition for our project in the terms of the workforce that can do it. When we talk about intelligent transportation systems, which is what we're deploying, we have a very recent example. In fact, it's so recent it wasn't even in the staff report, but 2 weeks ago, District 8 Caltrans opened a bid for a similar project. It wasn't similar in what it was accomplishing, but it was fiber optic and it was intelligent transportation systems. And that project, which again, they just opened the bid 2 weeks ago, came in at 35% over their engineer's estimate. They did receive two bids. The second bid was over 100%. So it was over double the engineer's estimate. So that's the competitive and inflationary environment that we're working in today for context. The other component is the actual materials themselves. This is probably one of our key pieces of materials, not probably, this is one of the key pieces of materials in this project, which is the very specialized conduit that the fiber optic goes in. If you look at this graph back in 2020, which was the beginnings and the design of phase one, we were at a diminishing cost of this key material, this conduit for the fiber optic, and it's been increasing. It's been increasing significantly. In fact, it's up 45% since that point. And again, remembering that this is a two-year contract, our contractors have to anticipate this and then some into the next 2 years, and they built that into their bids. This one item accounts for approximately 40% of the bid increase over the engineer's estimate. So again, competition, inflation on materials, it's the environment that we're in. So we've analyzed it and we're recommending a two-part recommendation. One is that we execute the contract with Crosstown Electrical and Data for the $86 million plus dollars. At the same time, work with RCTC to allocate CBAG's share of federal congestion management and air quality dollars. When you looked in the staff report, you can see that we are attracting over $50 million potentially of this federal money into this project. We are putting $8 million of state money into this project and approximately 32% equaling CBAG's Measure A share into this project. That's a likely scenario given our negotiation with RCTC, and that is our recommendation is one, we authorize the negotiation with RCTC and CMAC, and two, the award of the contract to Crosstown Electrical and Data. That's my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? See none. Can we have a motion?
I move to approve.
Motion by Wrenchmarov. Is there a second?
Second. La Quinta. Second
by Quinta. All those in favor signify by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We'll move on now to item number 7. This is just informational item. We'll go now to item number 8. This is public comments on non-agenda items. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the transportation. Madam Clerk, is there anyone signed up?
We received no written comments and we have no hands raised.
Thank you. We'll move on now to announcements. Due to the holidays, the next meeting of the Transportation Committee will be held on Monday, January 9th, 2022 at 11 a.m. via Zoom. Next meeting of the Executive Committee will be held on Monday, December 5th, 2022 at 4:30 p.m. via Zoom. And with that, we are adjourned, and good wishes and Godspeed to everyone who's running for re-election. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Bye all.